the Stockyard in Brighton. This is the Boston College Football Show with Bill O'Brien, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll get you caught up on everything BC football. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light, proud sponsor of Boston College Athletics. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. And also brought to you by McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. It's time to talk BC football. Here's John Meter Perrell.
Good evening and welcome to the BC Football Show. As always on a Thursday night, good to be here at the Stockyard in Brighton on a gorgeous night. Boy, I'll tell you what.
Finally get some rain.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Everybody says, we need the rain. I don't think we need a torrential downpour, do we? I guess maybe we do. But
no more brush fires.
No more brush fires. That's
should be
true.
Good there.
Everyone who's here tonight, take a bow. Take a bow.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, brutal night to be here. I appreciate everybody being here. It's awesome.
Horrendous weather, but Bill, good to see you. We had good weather in Texas for the SMU game. Didn't feel like football weather. A little toasty down there, but a terrific effort by BC despite the loss. And upon further review, what did you learn from the tape?
You know, we have to, like I've said all year long, in these losses, we have to be better in, you know, situational football, right? So the end of the half, that's not good. We throw an interception, and then, you know, they run it for 50 yards, kick a field goal to end of the half, and then obviously defense does a good job at the end of the game, gets us the ball back. We can't move the ball. So, you know, look, we're working at it. And we feel like we're on the right track. We're getting better, but that's an area that we got to get better in.
As much as there are no moral victories, I agree. But what are there's so many positive takeaways from that game that I would suspect you're going to build upon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a playoff team, probably. I guess they got to win, but they're probably the 12th team in the country, I guess. And we were right there with them. They got a good team, and we'll see what happens to them. But, you know, we got a lot to build on, a lot to build on.
Well, your quarterback position was what it needed to be for most of the game. Surrounded by good rush attack, good bend but don't break defense, and managed the game. And he pretty much did that with a few exceptions.
Yeah, I think he played well. I was proud of him. I mean, that's a tough situation to be put into, right? He hadn't played a whole lot all year since the Western Kentucky game, and you know, he was called upon to play well against a good team and on the road, and you know, I thought he did an admirable job, and very proud of Grayson. He's a BC guy, you know, he cares about the team. He's a great teammate. The team has a lot of respect for him. I thought he threw the ball really well for the most part. And then there's things he can improve on. We can all improve, right? So he'll work hard to get better. He's had a good week of practice this week.
Yeah, I talked to him today after practice. He can't help but not feel his energy and his enthusiasm. He seems like he has that infectious spirit that you look for.
Yeah, he's a great guy. No, he's a very positive guy. He shows up to practice every day. He's the type of teammate you definitely want. He's going to be there right there with you all the way through.
Another highlight has to be offensive line play. I mean, it was a carryover from the week before where they just dominated up front and against what was a defense that was giving up 90 yards a game on the ground. And it didn't look like that type of defense when you guys started to move the ball on them.
Our offensive line is, you know, we got a good offensive line. You know, they're big, they're physical. And they did a good job. They did a good job in the run game. They did a good job in a passing game. They're getting better and better every week. We have a good offensive line, no doubt about it.
Yeah, Jordan McDonald, Pete and I have talked about him a lot. He's averaging 8 yards a carry last couple of games. He's been amazing. He's popping. Kai Robichaud's popping. Those guys are just getting better by weekly basis, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I think those guys, Kai's, you know, had a good year. He's a very tough runner, inside runner, does a good job of getting the extra yards, breaking tackles, getting his pads down. Jordan McDonald earned it on the practice field. He's practiced well. He earned it. He scrimmaged well in the bye week scrimmages, and he's really taken advantage of his opportunities, which – I talked to the team a lot about that this week, right? This is a game, you know, Pete, you can attest to this. Like, when you get your opportunity, you can't look back, right? So there's a lot of guys right now, based on injuries, based on maybe guys leaving the team or whatever, that they're getting opportunities, and you have to take advantage of that. And I think some of these guys are really doing a good job of that.
The going deep on the roster, you're getting a lot of, I think, players who are being forced into action. But are you surprised by the quality of play you're getting from some of these guys?
No. These guys have, at certain positions, we have good depth. You know, you look at inside linebacker Joe Marinaro played. He had 8 tackles, right? He's a special teams captain, had 8 tackles in the game. He'll plot this again this week. You look at a guy like Ryan Turner, went in there at corner, did a good job, you know. And really showed up well on the film. So, and there's other guys, right, that are getting opportunities to play, and I think they're all doing a good job.
I don't think people appreciate the when you begin to go down in your roster, especially where you've got the perceived drop off in skill. How much thought goes into putting the right personnel on the field at the right time to maximize their abilities?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, we have to always do a good job of putting guys in the positions where we believe their skill set can really, help our team. And that's where you have to do a good job of evaluating what you have. And that'll come into play this weekend, too, because, we have some injuries this weekend. And where are we putting certain guys to make sure that they're doing the things that they're really good at doing and maybe trying to hide some of the weaknesses that we might have. So, it's a big part of the game.
Are you at the point now where you're putting people in positions that they probably shouldn't be in?
Nah, not really. I mean, I think that most of the guys that will be playing on Saturday that play in the game should be in those positions. I don't think there's anybody that I would say, is out of position. But you got to make sure that, maybe it's a nickelback that has to play corner or a safety that has to play nickel, something like that. So we're doing a good job of making sure we're putting the right guys in the right spots.
Reed Harris is another guy that came on Saturday, and I know you've talked about him all year going back to training camp, but he had 5 catches, a career high, averaging 30 yards a catch.
Yep.
A threat anytime he catches it.
Yeah, no, Reed's gotten better and better every week. He's got a great future here. He played well the other day. He's a big guy that can run. He's a great guy, very smart, caught the ball really well and in the game and made plays with the ball in his hand. And, that's – the more he plays, the more confidence he gets. Reed's a really good player.
Now, you get kind of a renaissance, but with receivers, in particular the tight end position, really showed up to become a strong suit for you in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, I think these guys, we have 2 really solid tight ends, right? In Kamari Morales and Jeremiah Franklin, they can block well. They're good in the passing game. They're good at what they do. They don't make mistakes. They know what to do. They're very solid players. They're very dependable players. And I'm glad we have him. I'm really glad we have him.
Now, you get to switch sides now defensively. At this point, Donovan Azuraku is he's names being sprinkled about on a national awards circuit. His name is being mentioned in a lot of places, and he's had an outstanding season. I mean, he's been the catalyst for that defense.
He's a great player. Yeah, he should be on whatever national award list there are. He should be all over him. He's a dynamic player. He's an explosive player. He's smart. He makes a lot of plays. He sacks the quarterback. He's good in the running game. He causes turnovers. He does a great job. He's definitely a guy that's had a great year, and so any accolade that he's up for, he's very deserving of all of it.
And he's going to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
With Ozzie Trapillo. That was announced earlier this week. And a couple other guys are going to the East-West Shrine Bowl, so that's great recognition for BC football. What does that mean?
Yeah, no, that's great. Those guys going to the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl, that's a big honor, to be invited to those games where all 32 teams will be, 32 NFL teams will be at those games. And, head coaches, general managers, personnel people, coaching staffs, everybody will be at those games, especially the one in Mobile, that Senior Bowl with Ozzie and Donovan. That's a big honor. That's a cool thing, and that's great for BC football.
Now, have you ever worked the Senior Bowl?
I coached it. I'm 1-0.
Not bad.
And the game that I coached, the other team had all the great quarterbacks. The Baker Mayfield was on the other team, and you can look it up. And we had the guys that were like the 5th and 6th rounders. We won the game.
That's pretty good.
That's a long week in Mobile.
It's all coaching.
You do not want to coach the Senior Bowl. That means you're not very good on your team, but – You did not have a good year.
Yeah.
It was the only, I think, the only losing year that I had in Houston. But yeah, when we lost and we had to go to Mobile and coach for a week, but yeah, it was fun. But the kids are great. It's a great experience.
But the town Mobile, I've been there. Glad I left. But the you know, a little bit like Montgomery, there's a couple of those places. But
Birmingham is not a garden spot either.
Well, we're kind of checking them off here. But the what people don't understand about the Senior Bowl is it's not a lot of fun for the players. It's work. I mean, they're under a microscope.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't call it fun for the players. They're practicing, in meetings, interviewing. It's not spring break. I can promise you that.
And how much of what happens in that game influences the way? Well, I imagine it does influence the way people think about their draft picks. But
yeah, we took three kids out of that game that were on our team that ended up being really good players.
Chance to be a showcase.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a big and when you coach it, you have an advantage because you're right there with them. You're in the meetings with them. You're coaching them in the drills and practice, and then you're coaching them in the game. So, yeah, it was a good experience for us. We took advantage of it, and it helped us in our future when we were at Houston.
Good stuff.
1-0.
1-0, undefeated, untied, and unscored upon.
No question.
No, you put that on you.
Mobile felt like a 2 years.
Mobile's. I like Mobile. You know, there was good places to eat and stuff like that. It was good.
That's all.
Mobile
was good.
Deep South.
Oh yeah. No, that's South now.
Yes, it is.
Go any further south, you're swimming.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Gulf of Mexico.
East-West Shrine Game is another good one. A couple guys are going there. I mean, yeah. Anytime you can play in that type of game, as far as, you know, from a media perspective, you all hear about what you just said. The scouts are there left and right. There's probably 50 guys hanging around all week, and they're watching your every move.
No doubt. I mean, that's, I think Ozzie's invited to that game. Jack Conley, Cam Horsley, and Donovan.
There you go.
Is invited to that game. So that's another good one. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you have every team there, and, there's a lot to takes place. It's a busy schedule. Everybody's watching your drills. Everybody, you're going up against good guys. That's the other thing. And your level of competition is the best relative to college football. And that's a really cool thing to be. It's a big honor. It's great for BC football that those guys are being included in those games.
No doubt about that. Coming up, we're going to dive into North Carolina. They're up next on the docket for the Eagles. This is the BC Football Show from the Stockyard in Brighton. Now this from Bud Light.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, Eagles fans. Come and enjoy one of Metro West's hidden gems at Shining Rock Golf Club. Shining Rock is one of the premier public golf courses in New England. And now open our new 9-hole par 3 course, the Acorn. At only 867 yards, the Acorn provides a great opportunity to work on chipping and putting. Book your tee time by calling 508-234-0400 or visit their website at shiningrock.com. Go Eagles!
Hey there, football fans. Whether you're cheering for the home team or visiting from out of town, Hilton Garden Inn offers you the perfect choice of comfort and convenience, spacious rooms, modern amenities, and a location that's just a short drive from Boston College. And don't forget to grab a delicious breakfast at our on-site restaurant, Punch Bowl, before you head to the stadium. Visit bostonbrooklime.hgi.com to book your stay today and get ready to elevate your game day. It's more than a hotel. It's your touchdown for an unforgettable Boston College football weekend.
Hey, Doug Flutie here.
And I'm Flutie Foundation board member and autism advocate Mike Palmer. Join our mission of helping people and families with autism live life to the fullest. From being part of an event like the Flutie 5K for Autism, hosting a fundraiser, donating or supporting our Stars of the Spectrum's career pursuits, your involvement directly helps the autism community. Go to FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Everybody that's been a part of our foundation, thank you all so much.
Go Eagles!
It's always the nights that end too quickly that leave memories that last a lifetime. Whether it's sharing a toast after work to celebrate being one day closer to the weekend, or hitting your lucky Keno numbers and celebrating with a dance you should be embarrassed to do in public. The games from the Mass State Lottery are the ideal complement to that unforgettable night. So let's celebrate the nights that connect us, because the ones we spend together are the ones we win together. The Mass State Lottery. Celebrate the night.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from the Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Burrell.
Far side play, fake keeper. James, 15 to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Boston College. First drive, second half. What do you say, Maestro? Take a bow, Grayson James. 20-yard rumble. BC 1 point away from taking the lead.
Heck of a drive by the Eagles to start the second half. Good answer after they came out of the locker room in the SMU game. Don't forget the Friends of the Heights is BC's official name, image, and likeness collective, serving 120 athletes on 9 teams and growing. Friends of the Heights prepares BC athletes to serve the community and to improve their brand, all while helping our team succeed. Going to Friends of the Heights directly impacts our team's successes on the field, court, ice, and track, so you can help our students, help our teams, help everybody, help BC. For more information, please visit friendsoftheheights.com. An important organization doing good work.
Absolutely.
They're out in full force in Dallas.
Yes, yes, they're out in full force. They do a great job. You know, we really depend on Friends of the Heights for a lot of different things, and just really appreciate the support. It's hard to put words to how thankful we are, how grateful we are for the support that the Friends of the Heights gives us.
Yeah, Mute was at Joe Popolo's house on Friday night. He had a big shindig over there.
Yeah, I stopped by.
Did you?
Yeah.
Very
Saw
nice.
Mark Colombo. Tried to ask Mark if he could play.
One more year?
The next day.
One more game.
Holy smokes.
Still,
that is a massive
still
human.
Big?
Yes.
Big cat.
Yeah, big cat.
Good career in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good career at PC.
Yes.
But we're going to see some good players on Saturday, BC and North Carolina. It's weird how the Tar Heels haven't been here since the COVID year in 2020. That was the game when there were cardboard cutouts in the stands. Pete and I were one of 25 people in the stadium, I think, besides the teams. Mac Brown talked about that today.
That was about it.
At his press conference.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. But North Carolina's bowl eligible. They win last week. And Omarion Hampton is the guy to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's one of the best players in the country. Definitely one of the best backs. I'd say him and the guy from Boise State, two best backs in the country. It's going to be a big challenge, right? He rushed for 250 yards last week against Wake Forest. It's going to be a big challenge. We got to swarm the ball. We got to do a good job of, playing with good gap integrity. We have to tackle well. It's going to take a team effort to try to contain him. He's an excellent player.
Yeah, great. This time of year, you get all of these funky statistics. And looked one up, one that jumped out about him. About 75% of his yardage comes post-contact.
Oh, yeah.
So he makes people miss, runs through him, runs around him. But, ole.
Yeah, no, he's got big, big legs. He's strong. Very difficult guy to tackle. That's going to be a big part of the game. Their ability to tackle us and our ability to tackle them will be a big part of the game.
Now, a guy who's you've got the benefit of having four backs that have accumulated 1,000 yards, and they have one back who's accumulated 1,000 yards. It just stands to reason there's a wear and tear issue. It's been a long season. He's got to be hurting.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look that way on film.
No, I know.
he's a very strong guy. He's he's a pro playing college football. He's a very difficult guy. Difficult guy to bring down. He keeps his legs moving. He's got great vision. And they do a good job. I mean, they do a good job schematically, and we have to do a good job schematically. And our players need to show up and be ready to go at noontime on Saturday. I mean, it's a big challenge. It's a guy that's, he's got a chance to rush for 3,000 yards in 2 years, which is a lot. And, you know, we don't want to be the ones that let him do that.
Is it as simple as Mac Brown said this? It's mano y mano. It's toughness versus toughness. He's giving you guys a lot of credit, as well he should, for being a tough team. Do you see that as this type of matchup, grit versus grit?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're the two teams in the ACC that run the ball the most. And so, you know, yeah, it'll come down to the line of scrimmage. It always does with us this year. It always will with us. You know, our line of scrimmage is where it's at. That's our philosophy, right? We're a tough downhill running team, and then play action team, and then, you know, obviously trying to be in manageable third downs. But it'll come down to our offensive line versus their D-line and our D-line versus their O-line, and then our ability to tackle him and our ability to break tackles. That's really what it is. It'll be a tough football game.
In the last 2 weeks, they've thrown the ball a grand total of 32 times.
They have.
Yeah. And that's an indication that they don't think they have to, or they – is that not their strong suit, or a bit of both?
No, they can throw it, and the quarterback does a good job. He makes off schedule plays. He's good, but they're a running team. Their running back, obviously, we've been talking about. He's excellent, so I think that's their main deal. So they're gonna run the football, maybe play action a little bit off of the run, and then they, you know, third down do what they have to do. But they're trying to stay on schedule, and they're gonna run the football, no doubt about it.
So it's hats to the ball.
Yeah, I mean you gotta swarm the ball. You gotta get 11 guys to the ball. You got to play with your hair on fire on Saturday. I mean, it should be a great game. You know, it's what college football is all about. You know, it's a home game. I'm glad we have them at home. It's supposed to be kind of a blustery day, I think. A little bit of rain, wind. It's just what the doctor ordered for Boston College.
Other than emphasizing it verbally, gang tackling, hats the ball, swarm the ball, do you do anything different in practice to kind of make the physical impression? Or is it just part of the... just part of it, what you do on a normal basis.
You were at practice today, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you weren't at practice Tuesday and Wednesday.
No.
Yeah, it was a war. Tuesday and Wednesday were not easy practices.
If you answer my question.
Yeah. No, we you know, that's what – you're not going to just show up on Saturday and be able to all of a sudden tackle and break tackles and things like that. You got to do it in the week, and that's what we did on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then today we backed off a little bit to get them ready to go, but it was a very physical week.
Yeah, Criswell, the quarterback, is 230 pounds. He's a big guy too.
He is. He is.
That leads more credence into your theory of you gotta swarm him to get him down.
You gotta get 11 guys to the ball. You gotta do a good job of. He's very strong runner. You know, you watch the Georgia Tech game that they lost, but it wasn't because of him. I mean, on the right. On their 2 minute drive at the end that I think tied the game. He was, you know, he had two or three 15 to 20 yard scrambles, you know, 50, 60 yards of offense by him on the last drive for them in that game. He's a very strong runner.
He's poster child for the portal. He was at North Carolina, went to Arkansas, came back to North Carolina. So I was like, okay, that works for me.
Yep.
Yeah, that was at one time.
Crisscross.
Do that.
The portal for quarterbacks is a little bit different. You know, I think if you're, you know, if you really, you know, you really think you can play and you want to play and it's not working out at the place that you're at, then, you know, you want to try to go somewhere and play. I just think it's a little bit different because only one quarterback really can play at a time. So it's not like offensive line or defensive line. It's a little bit different, you know. So I think, he's done a good job, and I'm sure North Carolina is glad they have him.
Now, there's a guy on their team. He's the number one rated offensive lineman in the country, Willie Lampkins. And not your prototypical offensive lineman, 5'11", 280.
The right guard? Yeah, number 53?
I'm watching him on tape. He's something.
He's really good. Yeah, he's tough. He's tough. Yeah. He does a good job of he's thick all the way through. He's very, very tough. Gets his hands inside. Plays with great leverage, obviously.
Yeah.
He's a very, very
tough guy. What do you say? He's built like a fire hydrant?
No, I'm saying you don't have to be 6'5 to be good.
Not inside. You don't have to be 6'5 inside.
No, he's a dog and a bone. I watched kept an eye on him. That's a good test for one of your defensive linemen.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You better bring it on him now. He's good. He's very, very good. He's a tough comes off the ball. He comes roaring off the ball.
What do you see from them defensively? Do they provide a lot of eye candy, a lot of movement before the snap?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they do a good job. Jeff Collins is the defensive coordinator. I've known him for probably almost 30 years. He was a GA for us at Georgia Tech back in the late 90s and, you know, has had a good career. He's gone on to be coordinator in the SEC, head coach at Georgia Tech. He's their coordinator And they do a good job. They do a lot, especially on third down. We got to be ready for that, be on high alert. They like to bring pressure, and we have to do a good job of being ready for it. You know, I think our guys have had a good week, and they've prepared, and, you know, it has to show up on Saturday.
They're opportunistic, too. Again, we're late in the season. A lot of stuff has happened. They have 5 non-offensive touchdowns.
Right.
They have a
great return game.
That says something.
Yeah, the punt returner and the kickoff returner are very, very good. They do a really good job in their return game. So that's a big, big challenge for us. When we kick off and when we have to punt, you know, we're going to have to get down there and cover because they do a really good job in their return game.
And I've noticed today, well, no names, but we saw some impressive distance in the field goal game.
For us?
Yes.
Yeah, no, Liam's doing a good job. Luca's back. Liam's kind of like an unsung hero, right? He's doing all 3 right now. He's kicking off, he's kicking field goals, and he's punting. So, you know, and then Luca's back from his injury. And so maybe Luca can help us a little bit on Saturday. But, yeah, those guys are good kickers. Both those guys are very good kickers.
Noticed it today. That ball was coming off Luca's foot.
Those guys are very good kickers. They're really good kickers. And Liam's helping us out in the punting category because, you know, obviously we've struggled to punt. But hopefully that'll get better next year. But this year Liam's helping us out here, and he's done a good job.
This is the BC Football Show from the Stockyard in Brighton. We'll continue with Bill O'Brien right after this.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, this is Paul Sullivan. Vehicle maintenance may be the last thing on your mind, but cars do need regular checkups. Come in to any Sullivan Tire, and our experts will let you know what looks okay or what may need attention. You decide what fits within your budget. Get the peace of mind that you deserve at a price you can afford.
Thanks, Paul. Make an appointment online by visiting SullivanTire.com. And go BC Eagles!
A new era of BC football is here, led by first-year head coach Bill O'Brien. Catch the action this fall with tickets starting as low as $10 for select games. Group tickets are also available, providing exclusive experiences, including on-field access for your youth team or organization. Don't miss your chance to be part of the excitement on the Heights. Secure your seats to see Bill O'Brien and the Eagles by visiting bceagles.com. Check out Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control. They have high-performance RC cars and trucks for the whole family. Traxxas is the leader in hobby-class radio control fun. They even have waterproof electronics to keep the fun going year-round. Learn more about Traxxas at TRAXXAS.com and use their store locator to find a Traxxas dealer near you. Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control.
Hi, Tom Coughlin here. Can you imagine getting the news that your child has cancer? Each year, more than 15,000 kids across the U.S. are diagnosed with this disease. The Tom Coughlin J Fund's goal is to be there for these families so they can be there for their sick child. We offer assistance with household bills, financial coaching, and emotional support. We hope you will join us helping these families. We need you on our team. Give now at tcjfund.org.
Since 1970, the campus school at Boston College has been educating students ages 3 to 22 with extensive support needs, including complex medical challenges. Located on the BC main campus, our dedicated team of teachers, therapists, nurses, and volunteers work together to realize the potential of each student. You can help make a difference. Your support directly funds the technology, equipment, and materials our students deserve. Learn more at bc.edu/campus school.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Burrell.
And don't forget to join the BC Gridiron Club and support Eagles football. Benefits include home game tailgates, away game bashes, and unprecedented team and program access. Sign up today at bcfootballgridiron.com. Paul Criscione, and a cast of thousands, as always, of course. Yes, of John Merlesina as well. Thank you, Paul, for pointing that out. Yes,
legends.
Not forgetting anybody. They are legends. They do great work, and we appreciate their support.
Yes, we do.
The million-dollar tailgate, as Paul calls it.
Have you heard the story about Ray? You know what Ray did to me last week?
I heard off the air, but go ahead and tell it.
I mean, the Eagle Walk, right? So here's this Eagle Walk. Let me phrase this the right way so I don't make anybody mad. I'm personally not a big fan of the Eagle Walk. I think for the players it's great, the fans. But me personally, I'm like in the back and I'm not like...
You're ready to go.
I'm trying to not be seen.
I get it.
And so Ray, as we come by the parking garage, Ray pops out and he's like, Coach! I mean, I'm like, Ray, I just saw you Thursday. But he pops out and he's like, Coach! And me being the idiot that I am, there's a big orange traffic cone, bang, ass over tea kettle, boom.
Oh, my God.
On the ground, basically, right, Ray?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pop my shoulder out, you know, had to pop my shoulder back in. No, I'm just kidding.
See, a bad athlete would have got hurt there.
Right. I didn't fall down. I am exaggerating. I kept my feet, right? Like a cat.
Cat.
Right, yeah,
like good reflexes.
A cat.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Now here's another story because you won't believe what I did tonight. So tonight I'm pulling out with Colleen and we're coming over to the stockyard and it's raining and I'm pulling down my street and I can't really see real well. Colleen says, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Watch out! Watch out!" Boom! I hit the sidewalk and blew my left tire out. That's why I was almost late.
Oh my God!
It's been a rough couple days here.
Oh,
the traffic cone and now the tire's blown out.
Blown tire.
Yep.
Yikes.
You may have to go into the safe room over at Yaki till the game.
Keep them in padded rooms.
I was not happy.
Safe room. Safe room.
My wife was not happy either.
No,
that's never fun.
I bet she wasn't. That must have been an interesting night.
So, like I keep referring to statistics. This is a good one. This is a really good one. Explosive plays, right? 15-yard runs, 20-yard passes.
No one transitions from a blown tire to explosive plays like being
explosive.
Pete is focused. Pete is going to get his football talk in tight.
I'll tell you about
it. I'd rather talk about flat tires. Pete wants to talk about explosive plays. Absolutely.
And I don't know if Boston College has a reputation of being explosive, but you are a lot of things. I think people think, you know, run, downhill, physical. You guys have 53 explosive plays compared to your opposition, which has 43 explosive plays.
Right.
That's a subtle but really important a component of your offense. And your defense, for that matter.
Yeah, in college football, I would say the same in pros, but when I went to Alabama, Coach Saban would talk a lot about the two most important stats in the game were turnovers and explosive plays. And so I've taken that and tried to incorporate that here at BC. We're a long way from where we were at Alabama. We had probably 150 at this point in time. But I'm just kidding. I'm exaggerating. I'm saying we had more
than
53.
Maybe you did.
But my point is we have to create – the days of like the 17, 18-play drive and you're going to, you know, you're going to like matriculate the ball down the field, those days are over. You've got to have a 20-yard play, a 30-yard play, some type of an explosive play within the drive that'll lead to touchdowns.
Yeah, we've seen that on both sides where it's impacted the outcome favorably and the alternative where the explosive play makes the difference.
No doubt. I think that's the thing, and you got to limit those explosive plays. And now for this game on Saturday, it'll be our ability to limit Hampton, who has a lot of explosive runs. You know, big runs, we've got to do a good job of not letting him have any, which will be a very tall task.
You want to talk about the best explosive play in BC history?
Oh, yeah, man. We all know. The 40th anniversary this week.
You got it. 40th anniversary. Might as well talk about it right now because it happened on November 23rd, 1984.
Yep.
Flutie to Phelan at the Orange Bowl. And you have to tell us again. You told us on the podcast. You told the media earlier. But what was the Bill O'Brien fan reaction?
The game was after Thanksgiving. And so I remember sitting in our family room. My older brother was there and my parents. My mom was in the kitchen saying a rosary because she couldn't stand Miami. And she was just, please, God, let BC win this game. And my dad was sitting there and we were eating leftover Thanksgiving. And it was an awesome game. Coach Gallup's here. He can obviously attest to how awesome the game was. But we... you know, it was such a back-and-forth game, right? Two great quarterbacks, two great teams, Jimmy Johnson, Coach Bicknell, the whole thing. And then they got the ball back, and they, you know, he sprinted out and threw it down the field. And I'll never forget my dad, who was very, like, stoic, like the exact opposite of me. Like, he was very, like, kind of a, you know, consistent, like, straight line, flat line guy, not very emotional, right? So he, I mean, when he caught that pass, my dad went nuts. He was like, he caught it. And you remember, like, after the game, like, Channel 4, I think Lobel was down there.
Neumeier.
They went into the locker room and did the post-game stuff. That was incredible. And I went to high school with Mike Bardwell, and his brother Mark Bardwell was one of the offensive linemen in that game. So, like, the next day at St. John's Prep was awesome because, you know, his brother was on that team and was a starter on that team. So it was awesome. Yeah, great memories of that.
And it was such a launching point for the school. It was the Flutie effect. That was day one.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, it was cumulative, obviously, but that was just when BC arrived.
No doubt. I mean, BC was on the map, but it was truly on the map as across the country and worldwide. And you talk to the people that were here during that time, you know, what was the, you know, the amount of applications and the endowment and all that. And, you know, everybody owes a lot to that team. And having gotten to know Doug Flutie over the years since then, which is pretty cool for me, you know, he always talks about his teammates and, you know, and how great that team was. And, you know, he was here at, I think, the Syracuse game. He was here.
He was.
And I saw him, and he always talks about, like, how the chemistry of that team and the type of guys that were on that team. And, you know, I think that's what we're trying to build here, right? It's not just about one guy. It's about the team, and it's about the right guys that fit Boston College. And those guys, obviously, are the greatest example of all time of that.
And his beginnings, humble as they were, Barry Gallup, big part of that. But I believe it was the starting quarterback was John Lockery, who is Matt Ryan's uncle, who got hurt, and Jay Pellizzola went in as a backup. He got hurt, and Bicknell turned to Tom Coughlin, the offensive coordinator, and said, "Do we have any quarterbacks? I got this guy you might want to take a look at. Put him in the game," and basically the rest is history.
Yeah, I've heard that story a lot. That's a cool story. Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, and Lockery takes a lot of credit for Flutie's success. He goes, "If I didn't go down, he never would have got his chance."
It's funny, though, every time you see Doug in person and you see, like, you know, he's not a very tall guy, right? So you're just like, it's amazing what he did. You know, it is amazing the way that he was able to throw the ball and see guys. You know, having Coach Bryce Young, who was not very to a Heisman Trophy, it's amazing when you have those guys that aren't 6 feet tall and how they're able to see and how they're able to deliver the ball, anticipate. Sometimes the throws are blind because you can't really see. You just know that the guy's going to be in this spot, and you're throwing it to a spot. That's what makes those guys, you know, some of the greatest of all time.
He had a real high, he had an extremely high football IQ. And talking about height-challenged quarterbacks, his awareness of schemes, defensive schemes, he knew where the holes were.
He felt it. Yeah, he knew. He knew exactly where they were.
He'd throw the ball to a spot and knew there was going to be a receiver and he wouldn't be covered in the zone, for example. And he made a living doing that.
The other great thing about Doug is I came to the Patriots right after he had been there, so 2006. I came right after the 2006 season, and he's a legend at the Patriots because, like, during, like, OTAs, he would be playing baseball, you know, so he was playing baseball in the whatever, the inner city league or whatever team he was playing for. So he would come to OTAs, you know, in the morning, and then he would change into his baseball uniform and get in a car and drive to wherever he was playing.
I remember.
Play shortstop.
Yeah.
I think he pitched.
I think
then he would come in the next day and tell Brady about his stats.
Exactly.
I was 4 for 5. I had 3 putouts. Blah, 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 blah.
He still does that, but he still plays.
I know.
Still plays baseball.
That's amazing, man.
Him and his brother, Darren.
Yeah.
And his other brother, Bill. But I remember Tom Brady told us that on EEI, that in the aftermath of that, because Brady was so impressed with Flutie's competitiveness and the fact that, you know, Brady's the ultimate competitor, but the fact that Flutie was such a competitor at that age,
and
Belichick obviously loved it.
Yeah, he loved it. No, it's awesome. He's a legend. And he'll be here this weekend. They'll all be here, right? It'll be awesome.
He'll be a good crowd.
Yeah. And Billy Flutie, by the way, went to Brown. Played at Brown with my my brother Tom.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Yeah, Billy was a very good receiver.
Yes, he was. Small world. Yep.
Yeah, it's all come full circle.
It's full circle, man. But New England, it always is.
But that team, are you okay? You
just gave me the train just went by. I thought we were having an earthquake.
An earthquake?
Did you hear the table was shaking?
It rattles.
Come on, Pete.
What are we on? The San Andreas Fault in Brighton?
I can tell you for a fact we're not.
We are not. I don't think I've ever. Have you ever been in an earthquake, Pete?
No.
Never?
Never.
Really?
Okay. Not to my knowledge, anyway.
You're well traveled, too. You should see this guy in Texas. He is the best guy to travel with, Bill.
Yeah?
Everywhere Pete goes, it's like a party.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I just bring it with me.
Yeah.
You know, bring a little sunshine, you know, wherever I go.
I can see that, but I don't see you as a big party guy. I don't picture you.
Whoa.
Am I wrong about this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time.
Where are we going?
Barry Gallup is raising his hand. There was a time.
But he's raising his hand because he's probably got 9 million Flutie stories.
He might.
He should trade seats with me. I'd like to go over there and listen.
He was the guy.
Good for Jack.
Well done.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
that's like Belichick's story about Lawrence Taylor when he showed up late for the meeting and he went to Bill Parcells and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know Lawrence Taylor was late for the meeting." And Parcells said, "Why didn't you wait till you started the meeting when Lawrence showed up?" That's your fault, not his.
We're gonna get Barry a mic.
Yeah.
Sure. What do you got, Barry?
That's right.
Well done.
I've heard that story before from Doug himself.
Doug wanted to let Miami score.
Yeah. To get the ball back.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much time did he need? Didn't need much time.
Yeah.
Didn't need much.
No,
that's awesome.
Yeah, those are
great stories.
Have you talked about that this week with the team?
Tomorrow. Okay. Yep. Haven't talked about it that much. Got a lot to cover with North Carolina, but we will tomorrow. Yep.
They got to have some recognition of how significant that game was, I would assume.
Absolutely. No doubt. I think they do. I mean, there's pictures of it around the building and things like that. So the Heisman Trophy's in the lobby and things like that. So they know.
College football history.
But you did a good job of it when describing the play and the people involved. These are legendary college football personalities. You know,
oh,
Jimmy
my God.
Johnson, you know, Barberini Kozar, the Orange Bowl. I mean, the whole thing. The whole thing. What a story.
Yeah, and when Coach Bicknell came to the spring game and his sons, Bobby and Jack, brought him to the spring game, Jack told me a story. And I've known Bob and Jack for a long time, right, there in coaching and great guys. And so Jack Junior told me the story about on that play he got run over because some guy like blitzed or whatever, and he's like on his back and he sees the ball going through the air like on his back. It's a great story. It's an awesome story. But that's a legendary game, and it'll be cool to have those guys here this weekend.
And we're looking forward to a great game on Saturday against the Tar Heels. We'll talk more about that, get Coach Keys to the game after this on the BC Football Show from the Stockyard in Brighton.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus, copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
At Mass General Brigham, we're one against cancer. We're building a world-class center of cancer care with the most cancer surgeries and specialists in the region. With new collaborations, approaches, and treatments, like the only precision proton therapy treatment in New England, we're there with patients for every twist and turn. There's only one, Mass General Brigham. To learn more, visit massgeneralbrigham.org/cancer.
Looking to make waves with a radio ad or public presentation? Need to polish your public speaking skills? At Movibe Productions, we specialize in crafting compelling audio and coaching talent. Our beautiful, state-of-the-art Studio G by the Sea offers the perfect creative environment for recording audio and video. From script to sound, from idea to imagery, Movibe Productions can make it happen. Discover an ocean of success at movibeproductions.com.
Boston College 1992 alum Matt McGovern is the proud owner of the McGovern Auto Group, Boston's fastest growing family of car dealerships. Matt is proud to serve BC, its students, alumni, and their families. With 26 dealerships across the Boston Metro and over 7,000 cars to choose from, don't settle for a new vehicle from just anyone. Join your fellow Eagles, Matt McGovern, Mark Walker, and Tom Kilgariff at McGovern Auto Group. Visit them online, McGovernAuto.com, and go Eagles!
Friends of the Heights is Boston College's official name, image, and likeness collective, serving 120 athletes on 9 teams and growing. Friends of the Heights prepares BC athletes to serve our community and to improve their brand, all while helping our team succeed. Giving to Friends of the Heights directly impacts our team's successes on the field, court, ice, and track. Help our students. Help our teams. Help Boston College. For more information, please visit friendsoftheheights.com.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from the Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank, member FDIC, member DIF.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Burrell.
Welcome back to the BC Football Show. Eagles trying to become bowl eligible for the 8th time in 9 years. With a victory over North Carolina on Saturday, 11:30 our broadcast coverage, 12 o'clock our kickoff, as Steve Smith's going to be an analyst on that game for the CW.
No kidding.
Former Carolina Panthers receiver who got mad at me once at the Super Bowl because I asked him about, tell me about it as you give me a weird look. I asked him about going up against Ty Law. And somehow he thought that was a slight.
Jeez.
Like how he can handle, you know, what's it like to go compete against a Hall of Fame cornerback? He took that as a front.
I don't know. It must have been your tone.
I don't know about that.
I've had to deal with that on the podcast every once in a while. I take a front to some of the questions. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Yeah, sure you do. but that was a heck of a receiver.
Oh, yeah. He's tough.
He was on Julian Edelman's pod last week.
Yeah, very tough guy.
Very tough guy. And Belichick, I guess, always tried to bring him in, but he couldn't get him.
Yeah, he tried to trade for him, I think. Yeah,
I mean, those guys are competitors. But you got a lot of competitors. You guys have been gritty. No question about that. What do you got to do to become bowl eligible?
I think the big thing is starting with our defense, like we've talked about. We have to play very disciplined defense. We got to set the edge. We got to keep our gaps, and then we got to swarm to the ball. I think that's going to be big. I think on offense, we've got to control the line of scrimmage. We have to be able to run the football. And then when we throw the ball, we got to connect. We have to connect, right? We don't have to be 100% completion, but we have to be in the 60 to 70% completion range. And then on special teams, look, I think controlling their returners is going to be a big deal. Their kickoff returner and their punt returner are very good, so that's going to be a big part of the game.
Your quarterback He acquitted himself last week. A couple of wrinkles that you'd love to have back. But he going into that game, you wanted him to manage the game. And I think he did manage the game.
He did.
Does his role expand exponentially this week, or is it kind of similar?
It's pretty similar, Pete, I would say. Look, I think the guy is going to get better and better. I did think he threw the ball very well in practice this week. I thought he threw it with confidence. And, you know, sometimes – you know, leading up to the SMU game, he would, what I call, pull the string on the throw sometimes, you know what I mean, instead of, like, letting it rip. And I just told him, I said, Grayson, everybody's got a lot of confidence in you, man. You know, he was, like I said, he was hurt. That's why he wasn't really playing. He was out for, like, four to 6 weeks earlier in the season. So, you know, coming back from that, and I said, look, go out there and let it rip, man. You know, make sure you make a good read and step into the throw, and all things will work out. You know, and I think he did that this week, so we'll see how that translates on Saturday.
In the balance between run and pass, obviously they're going to be loaded for bear. They're going to say, okay, BC wants to run the ball on us. We're going to take you out of it. We're going to force the quarterback to beat us. Is it as simple as basically taking what they give you?
Look, I think – you're exactly right. I think there's going to be a loaded box, and we're BC. We're going to have to. There's going to be one guy that we're going to either have to run over or make miss. That's just going to be the way it is on some of these runs, and I would say the same for us against them, right? And so that's why tackling is going to be big. But there will be, you know, passes thrown, and when we do throw the football, we've got to protect well, and we've got to run good routes. We got to throw a good ball, and you know, we got to complete the majority of these passes. That's going to be a big part of the game. Third down is going to be big. If we're in a lot of third and 10, third and 11, that's not going to be good because Jeff, he's going to come after you now. But if you're in manageable third downs, then you got a shot. You know, third and 3, third and 4 will be good.
Wet ball.
Yeah.
I saw you today keeping it nice and wet.
The whole practice.
And so that changes the dynamic, but how?
Yeah, weather's big. I think weather will be interesting on Saturday. You know, right now it looks like mid-40s, rain, wind. That'll be big.
But that's good because they're from North Carolina. It's not windy or rainy down there.
It's good for us. It's good for us. We've practiced in it, and, you know, like I said, it's a home game, and it's good for us. But I do think that, you know, we're going to have to do – I rely on Matt Turn. He's kind of the guy on the staff that I rely on with the wind and how, what he sees and things like that. So we'll get to the stadium early, and we'll go out there and we'll take a peek and we'll see what we got to do.
Back, but did that change the way you approach the game?
Yeah, like, you know, depending on where the wind's going. A lot of times at BC, you've been here a lot longer than me, but you got to look at the flags up top because that's really going to be the gauge. If you're standing on the field, it swirls. But up top with the punts and the kickoffs and then the deep balls, those are the flags that are going to tell you which way the wind's going. And so that's what we got to try to do.
Mac Brown had an interesting response to that. One player said, you know, he said, hey, you've never been to Boston. You're looking forward to it? The player says, it's going to be cold, coach. It's going to be cold. And he's like, what do you mean it's going to be cold? It's going to be like 50 degrees. He's like, that's cold, coach. And his response was, you know, a lot of these players, as you know, they want to play in the NFL. What about Green Bay? What about Cleveland? What about New England?
What about Gillette?
What about Gillette? What about New York? That's a funny response. You played a lot of cold games.
I mean, coached in some cold games, man. I mean, Buffalo. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That one game with Matt Castle.
2008.
Was that Castle?
Matt Castle. We threw the ball 55. I mean, we ran the ball 55 times. We threw it 5 times.
Oh.
Or 10 times.
But
they had to keep coming out to straighten the goalposts. Because it was 60-mile-an-hour winds.
Oof.
Goskowski kicked a field goal, and it looked like it was going. Oh, it's going to be good, and then it took a left. I never seen anything like it. But then the other game that was really cold was the 2007 AFC Championship game against the Chargers in Gillette. That was very, very cold. That was a cold day, man. That was a cold day. Yeah, so cold is – I don't think it'll be that cold on
I don't think Saturday. So either. I mean, it is what it is.
I think it's rain and wind more than the cold, to be honest with you.
For
Saturday, we'll see what
it is. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, the rain and wind sucks the energy out of you unless you embrace it.
Ain't going to suck the energy out of us, Pete.
That's what I'm telling you.
Let's go, man.
It only bothers those who let it.
You got 3 hours. Let it all hang out. Let's go.
You've been keeping an eye on the college football playoff rankings. I know it's not top of mind, but it came out again last night.
I didn't see it. Can you fill me in? I did not. I was not looking for that.
It's pretty much what you'd expect. I mean, here's the discourse nationally, though. It's always the SEC is going to get too many teams. They get too much love from everybody. You know, is the ACC going to get more than one? Is it going to be Miami and SMU? Fill in the blank. Who knows? If it's SMU, as you said, they got a good chance.
Yeah, they got a good team.
It's basically, you know, it's top heavy. It's what you'd expect, but. Does it inspire much confidence in you that they're going to make the right decisions?
I don't really know. I've got to see it kind of how it plays out for 1 year. But I just know that I really believe. I believe in the future of Boston College, and I think that an expanded playoff is good. It's a good thing because, you know, 12 teams, I think maybe eventually can we go to 16 teams? Can we have a 16-team playoff?
Right.
I think playoffs are exciting. People love playoffs, right? You love the coach in the playoffs. When you're in the playoffs in the NFL, when you qualify for the playoffs, right, it's like a second win. It's the greatest feeling in the world, right? It's like, whoa, this is awesome, right?
Oh, God.
So I think playoffs are good, and I think an expanded playoff really is something that I really appreciate. And, you know, we're working very hard to one day be in that playoff.
But you talk about the change in college football. Imagine you're talking playoffs in Boise State and Army are in the conversation.
Yeah. I think that's cool, though.
That says awesome. It all right there.
That says it all. That's right. I mean, give everybody a shot, right? You know, Army against Ohio State. Look, everybody knows or thinks they know how that game would go, but you never know, right? You just never know.
How many has 48 minutes of possession?
Plus weather comes into play now, right? You got weather, you got, you know, all kinds of things that come into play, and that's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. You know, the greatest example of all time of a playoff, right? I don't want to bring it up because it's a bad memory. We were 18-0. The Giants finished that season 9-7. You know what I mean? And anything can happen. And so the playoffs are a great thing, and that's cool for college football.
It is, and Army's going to have complexities there because they're not going to get much time off because they played Navy late.
Yeah.
People are talking about that. That's going to put Army at a disadvantage.
Where's that game this year, the Army-Navy game?
Philadelphia?
Where is it?
Is it D.C.? Okay.
Colleen and I went to the Army-Navy game at Gillette last year. That is an incredible experience.
I bet it was.
Yeah, unbelievable. Watch the Navy and Army march out on the field. I'm sure you've been there, yeah.
It's a very –
That was cool.
The game is almost an afterthought. There's so much going on.
The pageantry is unbelievable.
Everything going on.
But I think the ACC's on a good track. Pat Narduzzi, you're going to see him next week. He said it again. I think the ACC's the best conference because week after week, any team can beat any team.
Yeah, I mean, I have great respect for Pat. Pat and I have known each other a long time. Pat was at URI when I was at Brown, so we've known each other a long time, and Pat's right. Pat's been in this league. He's won this league. He knows what it's all about, and, I agree. I think there's a lot of – it's a very, very competitive league. We've had a lot of close games.
Yeah.
We need to be on the other end of these close games in the future, but there's a lot of parity in the league. You look at the – you know, I showed the team the Louisville-Stanford game from last week. I mean, it was in 39 seconds, there were 14 plays run at the end of that game.
No kidding.
And Stanford ended up kicking a field goal to win the game. These games are so tight and so evenly matched, and that's why it's very important to get your team to play 60 minutes and just keep playing.
You called
just
that keep one. Playing. Cronin you know? Called that one. I'll give you credit for that.
Yeah, they were. That was a great game. I wasn't sold on Louisville. But it's all right.
That was a great game.
Next time.
That was a heck of an ending. Well, we are going to wrap this show up. First of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Same to you guys.
Colleen, is Colleen cooking the bird or what?
Order. Yeah, we're going to order a bird.
Order a bird. All right.
But we have a Thanksgiving meal for the team. So we'll have we'll practice on Thursday a little bit earlier.
Nice.
And then we'll have like a Thanksgiving lunch kind of deal over in Corcoran.
Great.
And, for the team and the staff.
Excellent.
So that'll be good. And then everybody can go their separate ways. And then we'll gather back up on Friday.
You can bring your turducken, Pete.
And we got big Thanksgiving Day Massachusetts high school football games, right?
Absolutely.
St. John's Prep Xaverian. We got BC High CM. We got all kinds of things going on.
And the playoffs going on this weekend.
No
right?
question.
It's going to be a great day of football. Bill, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Coach. That wraps up the BC Football Show from the Stockyard. Special thanks to Jacob Lasner and Griffin Ward back in the studio. Have a great rest of your week, everybody, and go Eagles.
Listening to the Boston College Football Show presented by Bud Light. Join us on Thursday nights throughout the season from the Stockyard in Brighton. The Boston College Football Show has been sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. Empower. Take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Mass General Brigham, the official medical provider of Boston College Athletics. McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. Rodenheim. Trusted plumbing, heating, AC, and electrical experts for over 90 years. The proceeding has been a Van Wagner presentation of the Boston College Athletics Sponsorships Radio Network.